For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. Okay, we are up to the next stage of the drama. In our story, Yaakov and Yitz and Esav, what we discussed up to this point was Yaakov's entry in. He serves the food and he receives all of the blessings. That was all discussed in previous classes. What we're going to pick up then is going to be on page 298. In your white sheet and in your blue Ramban sheets, if you want to get yourselves ready, on page 59. Page 59 in your blue sheets, page 298 in your white sheets. Okay, good. Everybody good to go?
Yeah.
So we're now up to that stage of the drama where Yaakov is about to exit outside of that door. As Yaakov walks out of that door, Esau walks in the other door, and they just miss each other. And the story continues with that. So we're going to begin getting right into that in verse 30, Pasuk Lamed Vayehi, on the top of page 298, Kasher Kiwa Yitzchok Livarechas Yaakov. It was when Yitzchok had finished blessing Yaakov, whom he of course thinks is really Esau. Yaakov had just left from the presence of Yitzchak, his father, literally translated as from the face of his father. He just left, leaving the presence of his father. When Esav, his brother, came back from his hunting, from his trapping. So the timing works out. Now again, if we were scripting this, we would have a lot to work out here, because Yaakov only has to go out to the flock in the backyard, pull out the two goats. Yitzchak's actually got to head out to the field, and in all of the timing, it just worked itself out that by the time Yaakov is done, he goes in, he has all the dialogues which we studied with his father, gives him what to eat, including the bread and the wine. He receives all of the blessings, and then he exits stage left. Comes Esav in, and the Torah again stresses something which we're going to get back to. Where is Esav coming from?
The field.
The field. Do we or do we not know that already?
Yeah.
I mean, we know this has been the story since the beginning, that Esav went out to the field to hunt the game. Yet there's certain themes which are stressed over and over again over here. And here we're going to see it again. We're going to see it again in a couple of places. Esav is coming back from the field. He went out to hunt as his father had asked, and now he's coming back from his hunting. Rashi makes a very simple comment that the way to read the Torah, the double language of Ach Yatzo Yatzo Yaakov, that Yaakov had just left, is literally as this one left and this one came, and they just barely missed each other. 31, Lamed Aleph, Vayas Gamhu Matamim. And he too made delicacies. Vayavelo Aviv, and he brought it to his father. Vayomelo Aviv, and he said to his father, Yakum Avi Vyochal Mitzeid Beno. Get up, father, he said. Rise and eat of his son's game. Ba'avor tivarchani nafshacha, so that your soul will bless me. So again, the word na is missing please, which was mentioned that Yaakov had said. This was one of the tips that Yitzchak had picked up on to know, like, why is it sounds weird that my son is here, that he spoke to me in such a pleasing way. And here we had a little bit of the harsher language of Esav, Yokum Avi, get up, father, sit up, and eat of the tzeid beno, of the game of your son, in order that your soul shall bless me. But it is clear again that Esav understood that the blessing is going to come out of a soul that's been fed. That the connection between the food of the son's game is what's going to bring about the blessing. Go a little bit more.
What does it say, his son's game?
Why?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be the way that they spoke, sort of in that third person, like, eat of his son's game. But I can't tell you more than that.
Okay.
32, Lamed Beis, Vayomer lo Yitzchak aviv miata. Yitzchak says to him, who are you? Now, why would you say, how should we interpret that? Why is he asking that question? Right. Well, let's put ourselves in Yitzchak's shoes. Yitzchak speaks to his son Esav, and he says to him on a mission: go out to the field, hunt for me game, provide for me the meal the way that I love it. A couple minutes later, hours later, possibly, a son comes in, who he tests to think that it was Esav, who comes in and provides him all of the food, and then he blesses him. Now another son walks in and says, get up, father, and eat of the game of your son in order that you shall bless me. What are the two options that are possible in Yitzchak's head that he should say, who are you?
Well, he's already seen one, and this one sounds like...
Good. So what are our two options?
Well, it's either Esav or
okay, which means he's got one or two possibilities are going through his head. What's one possibility?
One of them is lying. I mean,
that Jacob came in.
Okay, either he thinks he's been fooled, and he is suspicious that now, wait a minute, if you're Esav,
who did I have?
Who is that? That's one possibility. What's the other possibility, which is actually more likely?
That he knew that it was Esav.
And who's standing in front of him now?
Yaakov.
Yaakov.
Yeah.
Right, meaning... the voices have been interchangeable, we know that.
Yeah.
So what's more likely is that he knew that the first one that came in was the son Esav.
Yeah.
And now he's being presented by another son with delicacies, and he says, who are you? Yeah. Now, so there are two ways of interpreting this, who are you? Either it's a suspicious who are you of, that's weird, who are you? Because that was already Esav, or... who are you in it confirming that this should indeed be his son Yaakov, that he knows that first he gave his son Esav, and now he's got his son. So we'll see in Rashi and Ramban how to address this question. Mi ata? And how does he answer? Vayomer, Ani bincha v'charcha Esav. And he answers, I am your firstborn son, Esav. Now, however, we're going to read that first question, but what's the response that Yaakov gets, Yitzchak gets? He gets the response that, who's standing in front of him? Esav. Well, that was the same exact thing that he got when he asked this question a couple of minutes before to the first son that walked in, and he said, and who are you? And the son said, I'm your firstborn Esav.
Did he say Esav?
He said, Ani Esav bin Bechorecha. It is I, Esav, is your firstborn, which was, as we mentioned, purposely misleading. It wasn't false, because it could be read as, it is I, and Esav is your firstborn, but it was clearly meant to be misleading, that it should be interpreted as, I am Esav, your firstborn. Now he hears it again, I am Esav, your firstborn. So however we'll interpret the question, which we'll see in a moment, by the time we get to the answer, we know for sure something is awry, something's amiss. Let's take a look at the Ramban. He has what to comment over here before we see Rashi. Rashi, the Ramban is on page 59 in your blue sheets. Mi'ata, who are you? Says, before we read the bold, this question could be taken to imply that Yitzchak was considering the possibility that Yaakov had impersonated Esav. Meaning, he might have already been on to this, that he's been fooled. Says the Ramban, that's not the case. There's no reason to assume at this point that Yitzchak is suspicious of anything. Listen to how Ramban reads the story. When Esav said to Yitzchak, let my father rise, he walks in with his food and he says, get up and eat of my food. Yitzchak thought that he was Yaakov. And that Yitzchak assumed that Yaakov knew that Yitzchak had just eaten of Esav's game and had blessed him. And now he had come and prepared delicacies so that he would get a blessing also. And that's why he asked him, who are you, to know if his assumptions were correct. The Ramban is reading it. It's very significant because I would have never said this. When I read the question, who are you, and I think when most people read this question as the laning is taking place every Shabbos as we go through this yearly reading, who are you, we read it as, wait a minute, who are you? But don't read, you know that because you know the story. You know what's going on, that Yaakov has come in and dressed up and fooled his father and gotten the blessings. If you're Yitzchak, so far everything is going according to plan. You asked your elder son to bring you game, and he does. You test him out. You feel him. You hear his voice. You say, it's a little strange, it's the voice of Yaakov, but this is clearly my son Esav. You give him the blessings. And then another son walks in. And he's got food with him. Says the Ramban, the more logical explanation that Yitzchak had was, who are you is not an accusatory question, but a confirmation of, it must be that Yaakov knew what was going on, saw that the time for the giving of the blessings was at hand, that I had sent my eldest son Esav to the field to hunt me game, and I blessed him. And he also wanted a blessing. So he also came in with delicacies to feed me, and therefore my question of Mi'ata is not a question of accusatory suspicion, what's going on over here, but simply a question of confirming that you are my younger son Yaakov, who also wants a blessing. That is how the Ramban reads the question, which will then set up our answer when the child in front of him says, it is I, your firstborn son, Esav. Now you have the reaction from Yitzchak. Wait a minute. How can you be my firstborn son, Yitzchak? Now nobody, if it was really the way that he would have, Esav, if it was really the way that he was thinking it through, there's no reason for Yaakov to lie or make anything. I mean, he should have said, it's me, Yaakov, I also want a bracha. Clearly that the person in front of him is saying, it's me, it's Yitzchak, it's me, it's Esav, is clearly telling the truth, and this is indeed Esav, which means, who was it who came in here before? And this, says Ravad, is going to be the first moment of revelation that Yitzchak has that something happened. Now let's see what the reaction is that we get. Let's read it inside the Chumash, and we'll see Rashi and the Ramban's comment, because there's a lot here. Says the Torah, let's start with the Psukim. Lamed Gimel, 33. Vayecherad Yitzchak charada gidola ad me'od. And Yitzchak trembled a great trembling. Now, Vayecherad Yitzchak itself would mean that he trembled. That would already be quite an adjective to describe him. Then we say he trembled a charada gidola, a great trembling. And that certainly would have been descriptive. And that's not enough. Not only did he tremble a great trembling, it was ad ma'od. It was exceedingly a great trembling that he had. Now, what we'll see a little bit, we'll start now in the Midrashim, we'll get back to this a little bit later as well. Chazal are looking for, when the Torah gives us such a great trembling, that means that there's something which shook Yitzchak to his core over what just took place. Now, what just took place, we could look at it on one level as a little sinister, somebody snuck in and got the bracha. And the Torah is telling us that Yitzchak understood that's not what just took place. That something massive just took place that literally shook him to the core. Vayecherad Yitzchak charada gidola ad me'od. A great trembling took hold of him. So what is it that Yitzchak is now chapping, that he's now getting, that he's now seeing that he hadn't previously seen, more than just that he was fooled now, that Yaakov was able to get the bracha, is where Chazal are going to see something big took place here. And if you were to throw out what that would be, your guesses would be, obviously,
blessing went to the wrong son.
Okay, so you have the blessing went to the wrong son, or the blessing went to the right son.
Yeah.
And he's had it wrong all these years. Now, how old are the boys at this point? I call them boys, but they're far older than I am.
30-something?
No, they're much more than that.
60-something?
Right? What did we say? We think we came up to the number that they were... They must have been... No, because... They were in their 60s, because Yitzchak decided to bless him because he had reached within 5 years of his mother's death. His mother died at 127. He and now he had 122. So he said, I'm within that age bracket. I should bestow these blessings before I die. And we know how old was Yitzchak when the children were born, the twins were born? Anybody remember the beginning of Parsha told us? 60. He got married at 40, 20 years of barrenness, and the twins are born at 60, which means these two boys are 62.
Retirement age.
The twins are 62.
They still live at home?
No, they don't. Right? How do we know? How do we know that they don't live at home? 1 second. How do we know that they don't live at home? You laugh, but how do you know? This is a Rashi. We learned this together.
married, has two wives.
Okay, we know that he's married and he has two wives, and Rashi said even more than that. The clothing, because one of the things that his mother Rivka put on Yaakov was the special clothing of Esav that she had stored at her house. And Rashi commented and said, why in the world would a married man with two wives keep his clothing in his mommy's house?
How do we know Yaakov didn't live at home?
We don't know that Yaakov, we don't know where Yaakov lived. We just know that Esav didn't live at home, that's correct. Yaakov actually did live at home. Right? Because what's going to happen at the end of the story? He's going to be sent away to go find some wives for himself. But he was living, that's right, he was studying the Beis HaMedrash. He's being supported by his parents while he was learning. And it seems like he actually was still living at home. So we have these 62-year-old boys. Esav's moved out, finally. He got married. 62. But how old were they that Rashi tells us when they went in their own different directions?
13.
When they hit 13, that's when you began to notice, Rashi told us, the differences between them. That was one of the earlier episodes which we had studied. So they've been on separate paths for 50 years.
In the womb, really.
In the womb, right, but it didn't express itself until 13. But for 50 years, it's been expressing itself. And now, Yitzchak trembles this great trembling because something has become exceptionally clear to him when he discovers that the second child standing in front of him is indeed Esav and not the Yaakov that he would have expected. Let's see how the sages comment on this trembling. Well, let's finish the pasuk first. Back in the pasuk, 33. Yitzchak trembles a great trembling by Omer and says, "Me, Efohu, who? Where is he? Hatzod tzayid vayoveli vauchal, who caught game, brought it to me, and I ate mikol from all of it. The terem tavo before you have yet come. Va'arvarchei, and then I blessed him." Gam Baruch Yihyeh, he shall also be blessed. Okay, we've got a lot of stuff in this pasuk. So we have the original thing which we commented on, this great trembling that he had. Then he says, me, who, Eifa, where? Who was that? Where is he? Who came in here? And again, how does he describe the person who came in here?
One who
hunted game. Right? I'm focusing again on the stress the Torah places on the hunting of the game. Just like when Esav came in just a moment ago and he said, I have hunted you the game like you asked me. There's a stress in that. If Yitzchak wants a good meal, so say, go to Meal Mart, buy me a meal. There's a stress on hunt me the game. Esav comes in and says, remember, Yitzchak, when he makes the request, says, sharpen your tools, go out to the field, get me the game. I'll stress on that. Mm-hmm. And then we have Esav coming in and saying, I did it, I hunted you the game, here it is, eat. Yitzchak now says, wait a minute, who was that who, it doesn't just say, came in here and fed me.
Who
was that who caught the game and came in and fed me, and I ate of it all, and blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. That's Yitzchak's comment, yeah.
Well, it says he will also be blessed.
Yes,
the word also.
Why is that second sentence?
Okay, good. In Hebrew, Gam Baruch Yihyeh. He will also, and we'll see. Rashi and Rabban are going to give us a couple of interpretations of this phrase, so let's leave it for them to fill us in on that. Alright, let's take a look at how some of the comments we have here from Rashi and from the Ramban. Says Rashi, I'm on page 298 now on your white sheet. Rashi says, Vayecharad and Yitzchak tremble. This is to be understood as the Targum Unkelos renders it. He was astonished, an expression of amazement. Meaning he couldn't believe, how is this possible? Is the simple translation that there was this astonishment or this amazement as to, how can you be Esav standing before me? I just ate, of the food of who I thought was Esav. But the Medrash Chazal were not content translating it simply as a language of astonishment or amazement. Medrash says, as Rashi here quotes, Umedrasho, its Midrashic interpretation is, he saw that Gehenim was open beneath him. Mm-hmm. That in the same way, now remember back, what was the sense that Yitzchak had when Yaakov walked in?
Gan
Eden. He said, there's a smell. It smells like the field that has been, the apple orchard that has been blessed by God. We said, well, that's an odd thing. What does that mean? That he comes in here, he's got these freshly cooked foods, it's a steak dinner, and Yitzchak says, smells like an apple field that's been blessed by God. Really? Smells like steak dinner. So the sages commented, this was a spiritual smell that he was picking up on. There was a smell of Gan Eden walked in with him. And now, Esav walks in. Remember, Yitzchak can't see. See, he's blind. Esav walks in, and what does Yitzchak now perceive? Perceives Gehenna opened up before him. And the sages see that's the language of Yitzchak trembling, a great and mighty trembling of everything has suddenly come crashing down. There's that, you know, Rakiva Tatz likes to talk about that, that aha moment when all of a sudden there's clarity in life. Like we go through, he traces it back to that moment of Ani Yosef. Like the brothers had spent all of this time totally bewildered as to what had happened to their baby brother Yosef. They sell him down to Egypt, he disappears, famine breaks out, their father is mourning, and one event after another is just bewildering. It makes no sense. They go down and they're claimed to be spies, and then their older brother Shimon is taken captive, and they come back, they go back again, and then the cup is stolen in Binyamin's sack. Literally nothing makes sense. And then there's those two words of Ani Yosef. I am Yosef. And it's like poof. In a flash, there's clarity. Tatz ties it into life. All the time we have that in our personal lives, in our national Jewish life. There'll be a moment when Ani Hashem, I am God, will be spoken. And in that same way that the world has been shrouded in darkness for 2,000 years since the exile and the destruction of the temple, and what's up and what's down and what's to the right, we don't know anything, and the Jewish people are low and been persecuted and slaughtered, and all of a sudden everything will become clear. Ani Yosef, it's me. All those things that we said, I didn't understand what was with that cup and what's with the famine and what was with... And there's that just that moment of clarity. We have that in our personal lives, our national lives. That he discusses that concept. That light bulb, right? So you have here, Yitzchak has spent his life thinking that Yaakov and Esav were going to be partners of sorts, and that Esav was going to have his role, Yaakov would have his role, and that Esav as the firstborn would not only have an equal role, but would be the primary role. And then all of a sudden, in a moment, in the words of, who are you? And the way the Ramban sees it, meaning he's just confirming that it's Yaakov, and also he finds that it's Esav, and it's not just, oh, I thought you were your brother. No, it's not just I thought you were this. It's, there's that sense of Gehenna under you, and that Gan Eden smell that I had, which I thought was Esav, that was Yaakov? Gehenna is with you? And then all of those years, and all of the questions about the straw, and the salt, and the marrying the women, all of those things, there's that, like that, the fog dissipates. Right? And we have a lot of the language in the Nevi'im, the prophets talking about that dissipation of the fog, and all of a sudden, with a ray of sun, and what had been so cloudy and so foggy, you couldn't see anything, and poof, this ultimate clarity. Yitzchak has that with the sense of the Gehenna from underneath the feet of Esav and the smell of Gan Eden when Yaakov was there. Yeah.
Now Yaakov was wearing the clothes of Esav,
yes,
that had been handed down to him from Gan Eden.
From, yeah.
So how do we know that it was not the clothes that he was smelling, instead of
I'm not sure how to answer that other than it seems that when there was something unique about this wearing of I don't know that every time Esav put them on that Yitzchak perceived that there was the clothing itself as much as it was the man. That's what I would imagine.
That said clean clothes.
Right, the simple meaning was clean clothes, and that's
clean
correct.
Clothes.
That is correct. Okay, that's the first thing that we find in the sages, that the idea of this great trembling was a result of the sense that he had that Gehenna had opened up underneath the feet of Esav. The Efo, who, where, who is that person? The word Efo is a term unto itself, meaning it serves many things. The word Efo here means Aye Po, where is there here? Meaning, who is he? Where is he? That one who caught the game. What, who? And I tasted of it all, Rashi comments, of all the flavors that I wished to taste, I tasted in it. Now, Rashi is explaining the superfluous language of he brought me and I ate of all of it. Like, what do you mean all of it? It means I ate all the good flavors that I'd wanted. Now, again, we're going to add this to our growing list of the element of food here in this story. Not only is food a prominent part, not only is the stress of who hunted that game, who brought me that game, so much stress. Yitzchak then says, and I ate of all of the flavors of it. There just seems to be an inordinate amount of focus on the food and the flavors. So that when Jews are constantly derided for their stress on food, we come by it honestly. It's not just like we made it up. It dates way back, this stress of food and flavors.
Cholent.
Right, that's for sure what Yaakov was making. Thank you. What Yaakov was making when Yitzchak comes in from the field was a cholent. I mean, he's making a stew, there's no question. It must have been a cholent, right? Thank you. Okay, and he shall be blessed. Now here we're going to see a couple of interpretations. What does this phrase mean? Gam baruch hi, yeah, indeed, or also he should be blessed. You should not say, says Rashi, that had not Yaakov deceived his father, he would not have taken the blessing, that the whole thing was a scam. You should not say that it was what we call in halacha a mekach ta'os, a faulty sale, that it was done under false pretenses, and therefore it's not binding. Yitzchak therefore concluded his words with, that's why Yitzchak consented to what Yaakov had done, ubercho midaito, and blessed him knowingly. So that Rashi understands this phrase of gam baruch yeh to mean, and I now put my stamp on it, now I know what happened, and I say it's good. He should indeed be blessed. Let not someone say, well, when you gave him the blessings, you thought it was Esau, and therefore it doesn't count, or it's not valid. That might be true, but I'm doing it now. And I'm stating, Gam Baruch Yeh, I give him my stamp. Now when I see this clarity, now what we're going to have to discuss again, I'm saying a lot of these things that we'll get back to. What was it about Yaakov's stealing the brachas that then says to Yitzchak, indeed, Gam Baruch Yeh, he shall be blessed? Now, we'll see that in Rashi, we'll see that in some, we'll talk about some of the sages' interpretation of here. But Yitzchak here comes to the clarity of what took place, and then confirms what happened and says, according to Rashi, Gam Baruch Yihye, it should happen, and I now give my consent, and give my blessing, so to speak, that it should be this way. That's how Rashi sees this bracha. Let's take a look at how the Ramban sees it, because he's going to give us two other interpretations. Flipping to your blue sheets, top of page 60. Starting with the bracketed comments on the top there. According to Rashi, which we just saw, the phrase that he too shall be blessed implies that Yitzchak now realized that Yaakov had deceived him, yet Yitzchak decided that Yaakov was deserving of the blessings nevertheless. And the Ramban takes issue with this. And as we're going to do, the Ramban is going to argue what Rashi just said. Rashi understood that now that Yitzchak is clear what happened, he wanted to put a stamp of approval on the blessings anyway and say, even though when I gave them I thought I was blessing Esav, now I formally want to say that I approve of what happened and I give them, they should be indeed effective on Yaakov. That's how Rashi just learned, as we just saw. Says the Ramban, this is an unusual situation, says the Ramban. Is it not? It is not usual, says the Ramban, for the person who is trembling in very great perplexity and shouting, who is it that tricked me into blessing him, should then finish off his shout with, and he too shall be blessed. Ramban says that the pasuk doesn't read from beginning to end. If in the beginning he's trembling, this great trembling, then he shouldn't conclude with, and yes, he should be blessed. Just the opposite, says the Ramban. Rather, it would have been appropriate for him to curse him and to say, you caused all of this trembling, I just realized the whole thing was a scam, he should be cursed. And not only that, Esav should have cried out against him, saying, why are you blessing him? Furthermore, how would Esav now believe that it was through deceit that Yaakov obtained Yitzchak's blessings in the first place, seeing that now Yitzchak was blessing him willingly. And maybe he wasn't through deceit. Esau should be able to interpret. If he's doing it willingly, then maybe he didn't fool me. Maybe he came in and did it on purpose. And that Yitzchak knew about the whole thing. So the Ramban is not comfortable with the flow from the great trembling to, indeed, he shall be blessed. Now, Rashi already answered this for himself. If you were Rashi and you needed to defend yourself from this claim, how could it go from the beginning of the pasuk of the great trembling to the end of the pasuk of, and indeed he shall be blessed? How would Rashi say? What did he quote that would explain it? Right? He saw Gehenna open up. Why was he trembling? Not simply because he was fooled, but because he now sees the reality of who Esav is. And therefore, Rashi's really answering, as we didn't learn it that way, but you see sometimes when you see the question that's posed, that's what Rashi's answering. There was this great trembling, and it concludes with, and I put my stamp of approval on it. Well, if there's this great trembling, you should be all confused. You should be angry. Why are you giving your stamp of approval to the blessing? So Rashi brought the sages who say, when he was trembling, part of why he was trembling is because he saw Gehenna open up underneath Esav, so that he now had a vision of clarity as to who Esav really is and who Yaakov really is, and therefore he concludes the statement with, indeed he shall be blessed. If you don't have that statement from the sages, you have the Ramban's question of, how did we go from this great perplexing trembling to, yeah, I agree with this. He should be all bewildered. He should be upset. He should be cursing Yaakov. Why does he go into a blessing? Says the Ramban is going to present two interpretations. Says the Ramban, v'hanachon be'inai, the most sound interpretation in my eyes is that the phrase he shall be blessed is an expression denoting the present time, not the future. Not that Yitzchak was saying, indeed he shall be blessed, but that indeed he is blessed. And what's the difference? What's the meaning of that? He was saying, in effect, who, where is the one who hunted game and who managed to deceive me into blessing him, and who will be a blessed person nevertheless, for I know that he is blessed by God. Meaning, I know that he's blessed because the blessing worked. If you look on the bottom there, number 40, meaning Yitzchak now knew that the blessing that he had bestowed on the previous visitor was approved by God and had taken effect, as Ramban is going to explain in the next couple of lines. Which means that this worked. Whatever happened worked. So it's not that I'm saying, according to Ramban, it's not that Yitzchak is saying, I give my approval to it, but that I'm stating, who was it that came in here and that the process worked, that the blessing hit its target and was successful? Meaning to say, let's just flip over one more page to get the full understanding of what he's saying. Meaning, well, I guess he's really going to do it. Let's just read this whole thing and then we'll put it out there. Meaning, Ramban presents a slight variation of this interpretation, or alternatively, the meaning is, he too shall be blessed even without my consent, for it is impossible for me to take away the blessings from him once he has received it from me. Meaning, interpretation number one is, he is blessed now, meaning it worked. Or number two is, there's nothing I can do about it. Once the blessing is given, you can't take it back. Either way, and we'll go back over this in a second, let's just read the last paragraph. Either way, the blessing from Yaakov, the blessing was Yaakov's, for from the time that Yitzchak had blessed Yaakov, Yitzchak knew through divine inspiration that his blessing had taken effect on Yaakov and therefore could not be retracted. Yitzchak knew that it worked. He gave a bracha to somebody and that it hit its mark. It was accepted. It stuck. So that according to the Ramban, Yitzchak is saying one of the following two things. Who was that came in here and is blessed, meaning he's not saying like Rashi, I hereby give my stamp of approval and I agree with it and I'm now in the future blessing him that it should work. That's how Rashi learned it. Ramban is saying, who was it that came in here and is blessed because I know that it worked? So who was that person who came in here who must be a son of mine because it worked, so that it hit its mark? And that now that it's happened, he adds, and I can't take it back. So there's this sense of an understanding that what took place was going to be permanent, it could not be retracted, and that whoever it was clearly worthy and deserving of that blessing. And therefore, let's read that last paragraph. And this was the reason for the great perplexity with which Yitzhak trembled, because he realized that his son Esav, who was beloved to him, and had lost his blessing forever. Meaning, again, Rashi said, why was he trembling? What did Rashi quote? Rashi quoted from the sages. Why was he trembling? He sees Gehenim. And therefore, when he says, Gam Baruch Yeh, he's saying, he's putting his approval on it. It should be a blessing for Yaakov. Ramban's not working within that approach from the sages. Why is he trembling? Simply because his beloved son has lost his blessing forever. So if that's the case, then why does he say, indeed he should be blessed? It's not he should be blessed. He's saying, and I tremble, I'm so moved by the fact that my beloved son has lost his blessing forever, and the one who got it is indeed blessed, because I can tell from divine inspiration that the blessing that I gave worked. It hit its mark, it can't be taken back, and it's not going to be you anymore. It's clearly going to be Yaakov. And Ban therefore explains one last point, which we haven't seen yet, but we'll get to in a moment. This is also the explanation of the phrase, your brother came with cleverness. That after having said, who, where is the one that came and hunted the game and brought it to me? He reasoned that the one who had come to him and whom he had blessed was Yaakov as opposed to some stranger. So he knew that, of course, it had to have been Yaakov. For it was impossible for the blessing to take hold in anyone except for one of Yitzchak's offspring. He knew that it had to be Yaakov. There's no other option. Nobody else alive at the time who possibly could have been the source of receiving such a blessing and being able to actually hold on to it. So that's how we have the two interpretations of Rashi and Ramban here. Quickly, in summation, we have the Esav walking in with his food. Yitzchak says, who are you? And he says, well, it's me, it's Esav. And at that moment is a moment of clarity and of great trembling, in which Yitzchak says, well, then who was it who was here a moment ago who will indeed be blessed? Rashi learns the trembling is a trembling of astonishment, and according to the sages, of clarity, of Gehenim opening up underneath Esav, at which point he puts a stamp of approval on the blessing and says, the one that I gave to Yaakov, it should indeed be a blessing to him. Ramban reads it as the trembling was just one of bewilderment that the beloved son whom he had thought he had now just lost his blessing forever. And his statement of indeed he's blessed was almost a statement of acknowledgement, not of approval, but of acknowledgement of indeed that son who got the blessing, Yaakov, because it can only be Yaakov, because it can only be a child of mine who is worthy of receiving this blessing, will indeed be the recipient of it, as I can never take it back once it's given it there. And clearly he was deserving of it, because I see with divine inspiration that it stuck, it hit its mark, and will indeed be his. That's how Rashi and Ramban learned this pasuk of this great trembling, and his concluding statement of indeed he shall be blessed. Okay, let's read another pasuk. I have a little bit more time. Let's keep going. 34. Kishmoya Esav es divrei aviv. When Esav heard his father's words, when he hears the words of indeed he is blessed or he shall be blessed, either way, when Esav now hears that the blessing worked and that his brother has now taken it and it will no longer ever be his, Vayitzak tzako gidola umaro ad me'od. Again, very descriptive phrases. He cried a great, exceedingly bitter cry. Now, when Mordechai, in the Purim story, as we mentioned this when we went through this sukkim for the first time, heard about the imminent destruction of the entirety of the Jewish people, and we say he goes out to the streets and he dons sackcloth, Vayitzak tzako gidola umaro. Even Mordechai only cries Eitzako gidola umaro. But it's not ad meod. Esav here has a greater cry at the loss of the blessings than what we will see in Mordechai at the imminent destruction of the entirety of the Jewish people. And Esav says, Vayomer la'aviv barcheini gam ani avi, Father, bless me also. No Rashi, no Ramban. So he has this great bitter cry over the lost blessing and yearns and desires for a blessing as well. Vayomer, and Yitzchak responds to him, Bo achicha b'mirma. Vayikach birchosecha. Your brother has come, b'mirma. Now, mirma is going to be a tricky word. Mirma literally would mean with something underhanded almost, like sneaky. And we'll see if the Rashi here is going to interpret based on the Targum Unkelus means with cleverness or with wisdom. Your brother has come with cleverness. He has come with wisdom to take your, and he took your blessing. And again, here the language of Yitzchak is, he took your blessing. That blessing which I had intended for you, indeed, had thought I was actually giving it to you, and your brother came with cleverness, came with wisdom and took it. Now Yitzchak doesn't really know the story. We would not say that. Who came with cleverness and with wisdom?
His mother.
Yaakov didn't know anything about the whole thing. He was almost a passive participant until he had to be on his own, where he had to do things on his own. But this was his mother's idea to do so. And Yitzchak here says, your brother has taken this with cleverness and therefore the holder of your bracha. When we get back to all the focus of the fields and the going out there, we're going to see this is going to play itself, play a role also, that the element that Yaakov plays is one of wisdom and cleverness, being engaged in the world, in figuring out how to manipulate and get that which is necessary. Yitzchak says, your brother did that. Your brother came the mirma. He came with this cleverness and he came with this wisdom in order to be able to take your blessing. Okay, we'll leave it at this for today. We'll finish tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. Next week we'll conclude with the rest of this, and just a couple more, I figure, before we get to Rav Hirsch, as we finish up Rashi and Ramban. Okay, we'll get back to the conversation between Yitzchak and his son Esav, Mirtz Hashem, when we pick up next week. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.